I want to ask you to take your Bibles this morning and get out your Life Point outline out of your Sunday bulletin. We're looking at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, 16, and 17. I told you I was going to be looking to just look at some messages throughout the summer months about wisdom. And so we're looking at wisdom for our days. Today's about redeeming your time, redeeming your time. And I want to just say, first of all, my wife and I, Catherine and I, are glad to have her brother and his family, JB. J.L. Smith, and his wife, Lachey, Natalie, Alyssa, and Nicole are all sitting here, coming in from North Arkansas, and they came in for the first graduation for a grandchild, and so we enjoyed the weekend having them here, and I'm glad to have them in services this morning. I want to read beginning in Ephesians 5, verse 15 through 17. Paul writes, and he says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." And then notice those three words, redeeming the time. Why? Because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And what God, I think, would have in front of us, and what this passage really just puts up in front of our eyes, is on this Memorial Day, we think about those men, those women who did not come home, who went off with hopes and dreams of being able to come back and to finish a life and to maybe start something new. But the reality was, hundreds of thousands, if not millions, have through the times of the past gone off to war and not come home. And it brings home a tragic reality, and the reality is that God would have you and I to think about this morning from the Scriptures is that there are many people who in their lives who never finish their race. You know, we have in our world today, we have the unfinished symphony. Some of you music lovers have probably enjoyed listening to. You've got unfinished paintings. You've got unfinished buildings. We've got a lot of unfinished things. The question is, did the master, did the author die too soon? Or did they die and they did not finish because they were derelict in paying attention? Were they derelict in not doing what they had the opportunity to do in the time that they had? And the reality is, biblically, God is saying there are those incidences where people run out of time to do what they wanted to do. If you look in our text, there are three simple words that are really the heart of what I want to share with you today. And those three words are redeem the time. Redeem the time. So if I'm going to turn my dreams, God's put a dream in my heart. God's put a stirring, a fire down inside of me. And the reality is, if I don't redeem the time I have, then what God has put into me will not happen. And I can come to the end of my days and not get to see what I could have seen. It isn't that God didn't want to bless me. It's that I wasn't blessable because I didn't redeem my time. I wasted my time. So what God is saying in the Word is that God has bounded my life and your life. I've got boundaries. And He has bounded my life with eternity. And there's a boundary line out here that when John Green reaches that line, that's where my life here stops. And I am ushered into eternity. And God says, that point for me was prescribed to me, and it was prescribed to you before you and I were ever born. God determined the number of our days. We came into this world with only so many heartbeats, only so many breaths to be taken by these lungs that we've got. And then we're going to breathe our last. And I think it's interesting that the Holy Spirit, in inspiring this phrase here in Ephesians chapter 5, he uses a definite article, the. Redeem the time. It is a specific time. It's a definite article. Look at the first truth, if you will, in your life point outline. God has assigned the time of our lives in determined doses. In other words, we're only going to be here. My life and your life is assigned a definite time. We're assigned a time with definite boundaries. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17. If you address the Father as the one who impartially judges according to each one's work. Now listen, conduct yourselves in fear during, listen, the time of your stay on earth. I've only got so much time allotted to my stay here. And in the translation of the word, it says, the time of your stay on earth. Meaning, Peter says, we each have a specific set number of years predetermined by God from eternity past. And I'm going to say this again and again because this is what I want us to leave here with. I've only got so much time. So in this Memorial Day, we are remembering men and women who paid the ultimate sacrifice for our freedom. And they went off, they left their home, they left wives, majority were men, they left their wives and they went out into a dangerous place, not knowing if they were going to come back. And we remember them today for the primary reason that they didn't come back. But the question that needs to be is this. The time of their stay on earth was over. They didn't know that. Their time was through. But how did they die? Did they die because their time was done, or did they die maybe with regret in their last breath that there were things they would to God that they had been able to do, and they said took their last breath with regret? Look at the truth in your outline. The Bible says we all have a definite set time bounded by God, and then our life will end. It's Job 14, 14. All the days of my appointed time will I wait here until my change comes. Job said, I know, God, you've taught me in my heart there is an appointed time I have allotted to me to live. Acts 20, verse 24. Neither count I my life dear unto myself. In other words, I'm not living my life for self-preservation. The point of my life is not to try to live as long as I can. It isn't that I want to die early, is what he's saying. It's not that. It's not like I've got a death wish. He said, but what I'm saying is I don't live my life just trying to get everything I can out of life. I live my life with this understanding that I need, he says, that I may finish my race with joy. He said, I have one thing in mind. I want to finish my course. The literal Greek is so that I may finish the course of me, so I can finish the course of my life. In other words, God has set a course of life for me. And by his sovereign decree, I've been able to be here in this place all these years. You've been able to be where you are. So that means that right now today, my course still has some length to it as far as I know. Yours still has some length to it. But it doesn't matter what age we are. God is saying, if you haven't come to the last day of your race, there's still a reason that you're here. Does that make sense? So don't come up here saying, I'm too old now. Too old. Have you gone stupid? Can you not think? Is there not something inside of us that God is simply saying, do you understand? I've got you here for a reason. I'm not just letting you suck up oxygen. There is a purpose to your life. Yeah, you're not going to do like you did when you were in your 30s, but you're going to do like you ought to do in your 70s. Do like you ought to do in your 80s. But don't stop doing what I've got you here to do. You just do it differently. And so the insight, God has given you and me a time boundary, and within that time, God has defined a course. Hebrews 12:1, let us lay aside every weight and run the race that is set before us. Literally, the set before us race. In other words, there is in front of me, I have started, and there is an ending. There is a boundary to every one of our lives. And Paul said at the end of his life, 2 Timothy 4:7, I have kept the faith. I have finished my course. Don't you want to come to the end of your life and say, I lived it well, huh? I want that. And it doesn't mean that I'm going to be able to say, I did every lasting thing I was supposed to do. But what it means is, I never got sidetracked. I did not quit. I did not just lay aside and say, well, I'm done. But I still remembered I've got an opportunity to make an impact for Christ. The truth in your outline, the next one, the Christian life is a life with a fixed beginning and a fixed end and an assigned work. That brings you to Psalm 39, verse 4. Lord, make me know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is that I may know how frail I am. And what David is simply saying, he said, Lord, please tell me how much time I have so I can really use the time that I have and use it wisely. And then David said, behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, and my age is as nothing before thee. And then one more, James chapter 4. James says, don't say, tomorrow we'll do this, tomorrow we'll do this, and tomorrow we'll do this, and for you know not what tomorrow brings. For your life is a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. All right, now, in Ephesians, we have these six chapters, and the first three chapters of Ephesians are about how, or what the Christian life is. That's the first three chapters. What is the Christian life? What does it mean to be a Christian? That's what you learn in Ephesians 1, 2, and 3. In Ephesians 4, 5, and 6, Paul teaches us how do you live the Christian life? How do you live it out? And verse 15 says, see that you walk in a worthy manner. See that you live a life that is honoring to the Lord. There is a lifestyle that you and I are to be living. And Ephesians 4 says, we walk in humility, we walk in unity, we walk uniquely from the rest of the world. We don't live like the rest of the world does. We walk in love. We walk in light, we understand, we see things that the world doesn't see. And now in chapter 5, he says, walk in wisdom. And you remember from last week, wisdom means practical living. And so the Christian life means to live life. It means to walk circumspectly, understanding how to live this life practically. So look at the truth in your outline. To walk in wisdom is to redeem the time allotted to us because this is the greatest waste of our human lives. You see, that's what the Bible is saying. The greatest waste of the average Christian life is a failure to redeem time. Come to the end of our race with so much left undone, so much not done. So what are the marks? Let me just give you two marks of the Christian life. All right, number one, there are concrete life principles. Concrete life principles. Chapter 5, verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Now stop there. See then. In other words, Paul is saying, listen. He said, since you've been made since you've been made alive in Jesus Christ, you've come to faith in the Lord, since you are awakened out of sleep, you're no more dead to God, but you're alive to the Lord, and you see things you never saw before. You know that God is in heaven. You know that there is an eternal clock that is ticking. You know that this world is coming to an end. Everything is going to burn up. You know that men are lost outside of Christ. You've been made alive in Jesus. These are things you are awake out of sleep of death. And since you have come into light from darkness, according to verse 14, since this amazing thing has happened to you, he says, see then, in light of all of that, that you walk circumspectly. In other words, make sure you and I live every day accurately. You live it carefully. You live it with exactness, not as a fool. Don't live life as a fool, child of God, but as a wise man or woman. How do you do that? Colossians 2, verse 3. In him, in Christ, and listen, are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. That's verse 3. Colossians 2, verse 10. And you are complete in him. And here's what God is saying. If Christ is all wisdom, and if I am in Christ, if you are in Christ, then the wisdom of Jesus Christ is in you. The wisdom of Jesus Christ is in me. You know what that means? It means from the moment I was born again, the moment you were born again, wisdom came into your life. When you are truly born again, there is a change. It is an instantaneous change, and there is wisdom in you. You know what that means? That means that every one of us in this building who named the name of Christ at the moment we were saved and born again, we had wisdom we didn't have before that happened. Wisdom is in us, and that means we've got this innate understanding of how we're supposed to live. The moment a teenager, the moment somebody, a real individual, comes to real faith in Christ, that moment, they have wisdom to begin living the way Christ wants them to live. They understand, if they're really born again, they understand from this, I can't just flip-flop my life around. I can't just go and do anything that I want to do. There is this thing inside of me, I don't need to live that way. I don't need to live that way. This is what I need to do. There is this thing inside of me, there is this draw for me to come to worship. I don't come to worship out of habit. Huh? You don't come to worship out of habit. When somebody says to me, well, you know, I say, where have you been? Well, we just, you know, this happened, that happened, we just kind of got out of the habit. I want to slap them. And I wonder what would happen if a pastor, pow. And just say, are you crazy? Are you lost? Are you a heathen? Have you been in baptismal waters and it wasn't the real deal? And they were like, what do you mean? Don't give me that mess. You got out of the habit. You get out of the habit of going home. You get out of the habit of loving your wife or loving your husband. Oh, I forgot. Why is worship not a habit? Because this is home. This is the house that is dedicated to our Father. We worship Him here. That's all we do in this building. This is a building dedicated to the worship of God. And I am here not as a spectator. I am here as a child. This is my Father's house, right? Huh? I come here. You don't have to make me come. When I'm off on vacation, I don't vacate from the Lord. We find a place to worship. Why? It's what we do. I don't take a vacation from God. Lord help if He took a vacation from me. How would your life if God said, oh, by the way, for the next 4 weeks, I'm going to be on vacation. Hope things go well. You'd be... Oh, people taking a vacation from worship. What is that? What does that even mean? So if Christ is all wisdom, and if I am in him, there is this wisdom that is in me. And you know, if you go back and you read Proverbs chapter 2, Proverbs chapter 2 is like a commentary on Ephesians 5:15. You just go back and you read it because it's talking about walking a wise path, not straying into the path of the wicked. And walking in watchfulness. Now, why do we need to do that? We need to do that because of this planet that we live on. This earth is a fool's paradise. And what that means is living wisely is difficult. Every day of my life and your life, the world is telling me, do this. The world is telling you, live like this. The world every day through all these media things are telling you, accept this. You need to accept this. You know, we've come into new wisdom. And now this used to be bad, but it's no longer bad because we've declared it's not bad. And all of it's to pull us off the way of Christ. The world thinks it is wise and you and I are fools. And God said it's just the opposite. The world is a fool. You know, Psalm 53 verse 1 says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Do you understand? That doesn't always refer to an atheist. There are people who believe in God who are fools. And the reason that they are fools is because of your insight. Look at your insight. No Christian should live as though God has no claim on the days of their life, for to do so is to live the life of a fool. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Is there a fool here this morning? A fool who so lives their life as to live by to declare by the way that they live that God doesn't have a claim on what I do with my life. I can go to worship on Sunday morning and I can live this way the rest of the week. That's a fool. That's a fool, God says, who doesn't realize God has a claim on everything in the life of a true child of God. And so not only do we live aware of the life principles that we have a limited time, there are boundaries, all right? That's the first thing. I have boundaries to my life. But here's the last thing. There are consistent limited privileges. In other words, the privileges, what I'm talking about, opportunities to have an impact are limited. There is a limited amount of time. My life is bounded. Your life is bounded. We only have so many days here on this earth. So we live by these life principles. I need to go through a narrow gate. I am walking a narrow way. Why? Because I am called to this. And these life principles, they're consistent, and I have limited space here to walk in my life. But there are also limited privileges. Verse 16, Ephesians 5, redeem the time because the days are evil. The time that I have to do what God put me here to do is limited. I only have so many days. And so I need to be diligent because I don't know how many days I've got. And I can leave my family, I can leave this church with work undone. And I'll have to face the Lord who will say, John, you didn't do what I wanted you to do. But not only do I have limited time, the Bible says that the days are evil. You know what that means? It means I've got a limited time to get what I want done. And listen, I've got limited opportunities to do anything that's going to make an impact. And so when those opportunities come, I got to grab them. You've got to grab them. The time and the opportunity to work and influence a child in your family, to influence a grandchild, to influence a son or a daughter. Your opportunity to influence them is limited. Yeah, you're around them. But do you understand? Anybody who's got a child understands. There are those precious times. You've been in a conversation with a child, and all of a sudden you understand they are wide open. They are wide open to me. This is an opportunity, and you can just like speak into their life. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know what I'm talking about? And you realize their brain is in gear, their eyes are open, and they're fully here, and they are listening. And it's one of those aha moments. And what God is simply saying is, you, those opportunities don't come every day. Why? Because you or I are in an evil day. The opportunity to really let your wife, your husband know you love them is limited. When you can do it in a way that will impact them for all of their life. Your ability to touch a neighbor for Christ is limited. And the word here for time is not chronos. It's not clock time. It's not like, well, I'm just so busy, I can't do it. That's not what he's saying. What he's saying is this is kairos. It is era, opportunity. In other words, an open door. We are to redeem the opportunities, those moments that can be grasped for God for good. Why? Because they don't come every day. And when they come, you need to be ready. And you grab it. You grab it. Does that make sense? You're in? The Greeks had a statue that was called Opportunity. It was set up in one Greek city. And in all my reading, I never found out what city that was. It was in one Greek city, and the statue was in the city center. It was carved and it was chiseled out by a man named Lysippus. It had wings on its feet. It had a great lock of hair right here in the front of the head. And it was from the middle of the head all the way back, it was bald. From the middle all the way back, completely bald. And underneath was this great base. And in Greek letters was this phrase. It said, "Who made thee?" "Lysippus made me." "What is thy name?" "My name is Opportunity." "Why hast thou wings on thy feet, that I may fly away swiftly? Why hast thou a forelock, that men may seize me when I come? Why art thou bald in the back? Because when I am gone, no man can lay hold of me. No man can grab me. My name is Opportunity." Here's the truth. The wise believer knows to make the most of opportunity for Christ. Paul says, walk wisely, and then he says, redeem the opportunity. So look at your insight. The greatest misuse of our lives is the misuse of time and the opportunity for Christ in a dying world. Paul says, the days are evil. Your opportunities for impact are few. And so wisdom means, as we close, wisdom means, listen, that you and I live these days that we've got in front of us, that we live them with this clarity. What's the clarity? That God will give us in our allotted time, Lord, give me opportunities. And may my eyes be open to make, to do those, to walk through that door of opportunity, to make things happen that will matter. To fill up my life with something that matters for time and eternity. Ladies and gentlemen, here's what I want you to know. Here on the hill, we cannot cease to live life with a sense of urgency. That is one of the things that has made this a great church to the point that she is today. There has been in our hearts a sense of urgency. Urgency for personal evangelism, urgency for discipleship, and urgency for global missions. And that is where the blessing comes from. And here's why. The Apostle John in Revelation spoke to the church at Ephesus, and here's what he said. He said, you have lost your first love. And here's what the Lord is saying. The Lord is saying, listen, if you don't change, I'm going to come and I'm going to take the candlestick. I'm going to take the anointed pastor. I'm going to take the one who brings the word to you, the anointed word. I'm going to take the anointed word out of your midst. Because you've lost your first love. And if you don't repent of that, I'm going to take your candlestick out, and the light is going to go out, and there will never be a church in Ephesus. Do you know what happened? They did not change. Their light went out. The church in Ephesus died. There has never been a following church of Jesus Christ in Ephesus since that day. The evil day took them over and snuffed out their light. So every day, God gives you and me opportunity to do good and to shun sin. So look at the truth. The last one in your outline. The greatest fool is one who wastes time. So here's the question. When are you going, when are you, man or woman, going to start studying the Bible? You've talked about reading the Bible through. You've talked about being, listen, be still. You've talked about being in a life group. When are you going to do that? When are you going to join a life group? When are you going to get into the Word? When are you finally going to be baptized like Jesus was baptized? When are you going to share Christ with a loved one, with a friend? When are you going to quit wasting your life? 1 Corinthians 6, verse 2, behold, now is the accepted time. Listen, today is the time to stop living the life and the activity that is compromising your life and dishonoring Christ. And when God says, behold, now is the accepted time, God is saying, I am ready now to help you do it. I'm ready right now today to help you do what you need to do. There is a friend in somebody's life who needs to hear the message of salvation. And God is saying, I am ready right now to help you do what you need to do. So I want us to stand. Will you stand to your feet and bow your heads for just a moment? And as we begin to just have a little bit of music, Pastor Stacy, I want to give you an opportunity this morning just to say yes to him. That you will say, Lord, I want my life to count. I want to come to the end of my days. If I get to the place to where I can't do anything else, I can't get out, I can't go or whatever, I want to come to that point believing and sensing in my heart that I have lived my life the way I ought to live it. That I have lived my life for you. And I haven't frittered away my days. I haven't wasted my time. If that's you, I want to call you to come right now. I want you to just move from where you are. I want you to come and just stand here at the front with me. And I want to pray over you that you will so live before the Lord that you will squeeze every opportunity that God offers you. That you're going to, Lord, I want to leave this world having done what I was put here to do. If that's your heart, I just want you to come and stand across the front and we're going to pray together right now. You just begin to move right now and you come. Lord, I only have so many opportunities. It's an evil day. And I want to make sure I take every opportunity. I want to be aware. I want to be open in my mind. I want to see what I need to see. There are people who need Christ. Maybe someone in your family, maybe a son or a daughter. And there's going to be this door of opportunity. There's going to be this presence of the Holy Spirit. And you're going to have to walk through that door right then. You have to do it right then. Because the days are evil and that opportunity will fade away and it will be gone. And you don't know if it'll return. You don't know. So Father, thank you this morning for the Word. God, thank you this morning for what our hearts have felt. Thank you, Lord, for the moving of your Holy Spirit. That is the reason we're standing here in front of you. There is that sense in all of us here this morning that our opportunities are few and fleeting because we're in evil days. Sin abounds. But Lord, you have given us the time we need to do what you've put us here to do. But the time is leaving. It's fleeting. So fleeting time, limited opportunities, means we need to be ready at a moment's notice to open our mouth, to step through a door, to do what you put in front of us to do. And so, Father, may we live with that holy boldness. Grant everybody here holy boldness to do what you want us to do in our day. Father, we thank you. We bless your name for what you've given us today. This insight, because opportunities are going to come. And by your grace, we're going to step through those.